Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to hour three of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Right now, up on Capitol Hill, you got Blinken, Secretary of State Blinken, about to be grilled. That's a term we all have to use. Grilled for the Afghan exit debacle. But remember, Democrats have been telling everybody for the last couple of weeks, it was actually a stroke of brilliance by Biden. He's a hero. He's amazing. One thing that I want to spend a little more time on, if not today, soon, is did the Biden administration, because Clay, I went on Fox right after the horrible suicide bombing incident that killed 13 of our American Marines and Navy corpsmen, and they said, Biden had claimed that the people that did this to us were going to be held to account right away. And I said, look, I was a CIA officer. I know how this stuff goes. Finding who was responsible directly and stopping the next attack would certainly be something that would require tremendous intelligence capability that you tend not to have in a chaotic withdrawal situation when all of your tools, sources, and methods are going to be, working in a frenzied state. People on the ground aren't going to be able to provide the same kind of information. And sure enough, now we're told that maybe a Hellfire missile strike that was supposed to be stopping the next big suicide attack may have killed an aid worker. This is from the New York Times, Clay. May have killed an aid worker and I believe 7 family members.
That's right.
Including children. Which this I find entirely tragically plausible because there was a political imperative, because Biden looked like an idiot and everyone knew it and they couldn't hide from it. And we had just lost 13 Americans. So the Biden administration decides, well, we just got to go for it. We got to hit a target. We got to make sure we stop the next attack. Look like we're so they had 2 strikes, actually. One in, I think it was eastern Afghanistan, against unnamed individuals, as if we're supposed to take their word for it that these were the masterminds. And then a strike that they said was at the incoming suicide, the next big suicide bomb that was going to go off at the airport. Now looks like they blew up. We don't know for sure. But a New York Times detailed analysis with video and travel timestamps shows a guy who had never been on the radar before of the U.S. government, seems to be an aid worker, and definitely had a bunch of kids with him, and they blew him up. And I'm just, if it were the Trump presidency and this occurred, this specific incident, I am certain this would be getting not just scrutiny, there'd be outrage over this.
No doubt. And I mean, I give credit to the New York Times for writing the piece and actually being willing to look at all the evidence. And by the way, it came out on Friday. I bet we'll be one of the only media outlets in the country to mention it on Monday. I will say, even in the world that we live in now, when you drop a story on Friday afternoon, headed into a weekend, it used to be the tried and true way to bury bad news. But when you got all the different activities that are going on a Saturday and a Sunday, by Monday, that story is almost vanished. I mean, that's just the truth of the world that we live in. But it is indicative of the overall failure of the Biden regime. Every direction that you turn, they are failing. And that's why he's out there desperately campaigning today for Governor Newsom, because he's trying to avoid, he already lost one ally in New York, trying to avoid Newsom being tied to the failed COVID policies of the Biden administration.
It's too hard to make the case that you lose the governors of your 2 biggest, most important blue states during COVID when states were so important in the response, right? Especially if you believe that Trump, as the Democrats do, was so MIA, which was not true. And Operation right. Warp Speed is all of a sudden erased from the memory banks of all these people. But it's very hard to make the case to anyone who's open minded and paying attention, at least, that the Democrats in the most important states did a good job with COVID when you're losing. I know that for Cuomo it was for sexual harassment, but you're losing both of your most important governors from a state and electoral perspective. And I mean, just on the Afghanistan thing, the narrative right now would be if Donald Trump were president and you had the same fact pattern through the month of August and the same situation had played out in Afghanistan up to this drone strike with a Hellfire missile on a carload full of people, it would have been Donald Trump to distract from, how awful he is, blew up a carload full of children. That's what a monster he is. You hear nothing like this about the current commander in chief. I mean, I know people say, oh, the intel community, the military. Yeah, but when there's pressure from the White House, do anything to stop this, and you have orders to go the first moment you think you know when the next attack is, this kind of stuff happens. And it, you know, the buck stops with the commander in chief on this, right? This is the kind of incident that would be treated very differently. Anyway, I didn't want us to go without mentioning that at least.
Because most media are not going to mention it by Monday, because the story came out on Friday and then it's gone.
It just goes to the desperation of the Biden administration as well to look less absurd in the face of all the Afghanistan lack of planning and the debacle of people running on the tarmac and trying to get people out of there. By the way, we've got Blinken faces furious lawmakers over Afghan exit. That's right now the headline on Fox News as Capitol Hill testimony is happening. I'm just going to skip to the end on this for everybody. Nobody in the Biden administration is getting fired. If they resign, it'll be in months after they've gotten their book deal from some big publisher. And they've got, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations giving them some nice little sinecure or whatever, right? That's when no one's going to be held accountable. So all the histrionics you're going to hear on Capitol Hill right now from whoever it is on the Republican side about, oh, my gosh, and why didn't you plan and why didn't you? You know what the Democrats are doing? They're looking at them and saying, yeah, what are you going to do about it? We're going to be talking about the insurrection for the next 12 months. What are you going to do about it? That's their approach.
Well, and also the Blinken discussion arguably provides cover for the budget details that are continuing to come out that we talked about earlier, where, you know, suddenly people in New York are paying over 60% tax rate, and people are not focused on that because the outrage over Afghanistan or whatever the latest daily news cycle is obscures the larger, more complete $1 trillion Bernie budget that is moving through, that is going to screw, I think, the economy. Buck, we were just talking about inflation a bit in the last hour. The New York Fed has now come out and said that their inflation targets are 5.2% this year. 5.2% now. This is the New York Federal Reserve. And 4% over the next 3 years, with large expected price rises in food, rent, and medical costs. Poor people are thinking, oh, we're getting these tax refunds, these tax checks, everything else. They're immediately getting eaten up by inflation, which acts as a default tax increase on everyone, but impacts the poor who have the least financial ability the most. This is Jimmy Carter 2.0. Again, Federal Reserve, 5.2% inflation in 1 year, 4% in 3 years. That is the highest level of inflation that many of us have seen in our lives. Those of us who were born either at the tail end or after the Carter administration. I know a lot of people out there listening to us remember that, but that's where we are. This is where Joe Biden's economic policies
are taking us. It's not just wages. It's not just the food in the store. It's also going to affect, this is what happens, folks. You print money. This is cause and effect, right? We can all see it. We all know this is a function. Clay likes the data. This is a function of the math. Yes. And what ends up happening is you have an increase in home prices. That home you want to buy, or maybe, you know, that place you want to rent even, is going to get more expensive. But also your investments. I mean, if you live off of an annuity, for example, of some kind, if you're somebody that's in some kind of a defined pension plan, understand that, you know, if you think you're making, you know, you see that percentage, and a lot of these programs and 401ks and things like that, you have built into it, oh, it's going to be X percent a year. Well, you start losing 5% a year to inflation. I mean, the money that you're putting into a savings account that you think you're getting, I mean, I don't even know what, it's less than 1%, right? It's point something something percent. You're actually going negative 5% every year. So you're working your butt off. You're putting your money away. You're thinking, I'm doing things for the right day. And Uncle Sam is actually, you know, like the squirrels in your attic getting into your stuff, just eating away 5% a year at what you're working hard to save. That's the reality of the Democrats spending right now.
Yeah. And there's so many elderly people in particular living on fixed income that don't have the flexibility based on their current life situation to be putting the money into riskier endeavors. And by the way, this is also a little bit scary about the stock market in general, because one reason there's so much money in the stock market is because a lot of people are looking around at the inflation rate and saying, where else can I put it
chasing
without losing
yield.
Money?
And when everyone chases yield, what ends up happening? You create what would be known in financial parlance as a bubble.
Yes.
And when that bubble bursts, then people get hurt. Then the unemployment rate skyrockets. Then people lose, you know, half or more of their life savings. And I mean, it's just, this is the financial engineering that Democrats are engaged in right now. It's really just stealth socialism. I mean, this is, they're just trying to move money around, pay off the constituencies that they like, take more from the productive class, give more to the less productive, while also always exempting Clay, the actual elites, right? The people who, Nancy Pelosi doesn't care what the tax rate is because she's worth $50 million or whatever it is. She'd care about a wealth tax, though, which is why you'll never actually see that happen. But I worry that, you know, with the media on the side of the Democrats, class warfare, as much as it is rooted in fallacy, it is effective politics. And Democrats know that.
Yeah, and the question is, are the Joe Manchins of the world, the Kyrsten Sinemas, are they going to be able to exert control in the Senate? And then, and I think even more nerve-wrackingly, because at least in the Senate, you got six-year terms, and a lot of these people can hope that the story and the disdain and the discomfort over this decision fades. In the House, where Nancy Pelosi is up against it, there are a lot of moderate Democrats, seven of them, I believe, in districts that Trump won, who are in severe danger, and we'll see whether or not they have the testicular fortitude to stand up and actually oppose this situation. I'm not sure that they do. They may end up buckling, but this is going to be a fascinating battle, and right now, a lot of it's going under the radar. And I got to tell you, by the way, I love the MyPillow products in my house. Absolutely love it. In fact, so much, Buck. I'm on the road, everybody knows, every single weekend. I am right now having to hang out all these different hotel rooms. Sheets aren't as good, Buck.
Clay,
pillows,
you got to start being like the kid at sleepaway camp who brings
his
own pillow, except you bring your MyPillow to the hotel with you.
I got to tell you, it's not anywhere near as nice. I was staying in the hotel, and I mean, I didn't have any of my MyPillow products. And look, we're talking about MyPillow foam, layer of impact gel, prevents fatigue and offers all-day comfort. That's the slippers, just the slippers. And these slippers, they can be worn all day long, indoor and outdoors. My wife wears these things all over the house. They're made from high-quality leather. And right now, you can get 50% off your slippers. Walk outside. They're joyous. Wear them everywhere. All you have to do is get hooked up. Buck, where do they get them?
So easy, folks. Right now, log on to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener specials and use promo code Clay and Buck. That's MyPillow.com. Click on radio listener specials. Use promo code Clay and Buck. Remember, the slippers come with a one-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. It's actually funny, Clay. My dad now keeps his towels from my towel separate. So they're only his towels, right? No one else is. He's got his stash. So now I have to hook everybody else up with my towels in my family. Lots of specials, other discounts on the website. Go get yourself some today. You'll love it. MyPillow.com, promo code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. One of the things that we have been talking to you guys since we first took over, it's been almost 3 months ago now, since we first started doing this show, we said the COVID mandates are not disappearing. And in fact, last week, Joe Biden came out and tried to implement the, I would say, biggest federal overreach in the space of health in most of our lives in terms of requiring a vaccine, something, by the way, that they all said in the Biden administration they would never do. And now Dr. Fauci is not happy with what has happened so far, and he wants and would support a mandate for the vaccine to be required in order to travel on an airplane. Here is the Fauchmeister making that argument.
I would support that if you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, that you should be vaccinated. When you hear us say, should you mandate vaccination for children to be able to attend school? Some people say, oh my goodness, that would be terrible to do that. But we already do that and have been doing that for decades and decades. I don't know what school you went to, but the school that I went to, you had to be vaccinated for measles, mumps, rubella, polio, or otherwise you couldn't go to school.
The difference, of course, Buck, and by the way, the school that he went to is the same school that you went
to. That's right. So it is possible they could produce some freedom spreaders, damn it. It's not just Fauci.
All of those viruses that he referenced actually have danger to children. And I don't want to get focused on the children vaccine requirement, because I think that's madness. But the airplane vaccine requirement is even crazier, because this is significant. There's never been a requirement that you be vaccinated for measles or mumps or polio or whatever else the heck it is in order to get on an airplane, or, frankly, that you would require a gate agent to be checking vaccine paperwork.
I also wonder about this, because, Clay, what becomes, first of all, this is, as you and I have said,
where it's headed.
This is where it's heading if cases are high in the winter, and especially if hospitalizations go. This is absolutely where it is going. Okay, so that's one part of this. But another part of it is that, look, and this is why maybe we'll have, you know, Dr. Marty Makary or somebody like that on.
We need to get
really
him on.
Knows,
we do.
Yeah. Oh, we do this week?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
we should. He's got a good
ask about this.
Because
here's my sense of it. Here's my sense of it. Is measles constantly adapting? And, you know, are mumps something that are constantly changing all the time? Because what clearly the libs are looking at now is getting us to zero COVID. They won't say that, because that means we're talking about a multi-year now. We're already at 18 months. Multi-year suppression campaign. But are they trying to suppress something that's actually much more like the common cold or the flu in terms of transmission, mutation, and inability? And as you point out, globally, you'd have to do this as well,
yes.
Right?
The variants are all coming globally. They're not coming in the United States.
Yeah, but that's what they
Delta
don't want you to.
From India.
And it's also interesting that there's a change that's just happened now. You know, it used to be West Nile virus, Ebola virus, Lyme disease. These are all things that are named for places. And yet now, Zika, right? These are things that are named for places. Now it's Alpha, Beta, Lambda, Delta, you know, Omega, whatever.
Racism.
Because they don't want people to know, because they're worried about xenophobia. Well, that would actually be important to know where this stuff is coming from, because your vaccination rate in the U.S., even if it did get to 100%, Clay, if it's 15% in South Asia, guess what?
You're in trouble. And that, unfortunately, is where we are headed. And that's what, like, no one is willing to actually have that discussion. The chances of the variant emerging in the United States are tiny. We got to tell you, though, family members always interested in sharing pictures and videos with one another. You know why? Because we want to share the emotion attached to the picture or video. For families that have cherished memories from 20, 30 years ago, how do you accomplish the same thing? You can't send a VHS cassette or say, put this in the VCR and watch it anymore. What you need instead is Legacy Box, a company based here in my home state of Tennessee, digitally transferring videos and movies for a decade now. Trust them like we do. In just a couple of weeks' time, they can take a whole box full of your videotapes and transfer them to digital files on the cloud, thumb drive, DVDs, all of it. Legacy Box makes it easy. They ship you one of their specially made boxes so you can ship those invaluable family memories. They return it as well. LegacyBox.com to sign up today. LegacyBox.com, 40% off their services today. LegacyBox.com/Clay.
Well, I think the president is you know, being somewhat moderate in his demand, if you want to call it that, in that there are some people who really don't want to get vaccinated, but they don't want to lose their job. You got to give them an off lane. And the off lane is, if you get tested frequently enough and find out you're positive, you won't come to work and you won't infect other people. So it really is somewhat of a compromise there. Myself, I would make it just vaccinate or not. But he was trying to be moderate in what his pronouncement was.
Welcome back to Clay Travis of Buck Sexton Show. Clay, I can see him. His face is literally disbelief on his face as he's hearing this clip from Fauci, it's like bad cop, right? Or bad cop, worse cop. You got Biden with the overreach and Fauci like, oh no, I would go full Stalinism. I'd go all the way.
I just don't understand. And again, for people out there who didn't hear us talking about it earlier, We have put an official request in for this Dr. Fauci to come on our show. He does every media outlet in the country. 13,000 of you have voted in the first 45 minutes here. 93% of you say that he will refuse to come on our show. And again, I think that's funny, but also sad because he said so many stupid things.
He's
but
a
I
spokesman. Really just want, he's not, yes. Can we just say, Clay, he's not even, it's not like the president or somebody with, you know, have to respect the office or something. His job is apparently to just go on every media outlet
which
and
is
spew
what he does.
The same crap. But he won't come here and talk to us. He's a public employee. Why not?
I just want to ask him about the natural immunity thing because he continues to make it an either or concept. Either you get the vaccine or in Dr. Fauci's position, you are putting everybody at danger and you don't deserve the right to work. That's what he's saying. You either get the vaccine or you don't deserve the right to work. That's what Dr. Fauci believes. What about the 100 million people who already had COVID? And again, I want to go back to that England study, which we don't have. 98% of people in England have right now COVID antibodies because they either got the vaccine or they have natural immunity. Why are they doing such an awful job in this country that we keep having to cite Israeli data or English data instead of being able to cite data in America to reflect what the situation actually is here? Because without that data, you can't make informed public policy decisions. It's incredibly frustrating to me, 18 months in, that we still have such an awful collection of data. And I understand those countries are smaller, and maybe that's the argument for why it's easier to do, but can a state not do it? Can we not have a serology study in a state or a city? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Clay, you also have to remember, and I don't mean you, I mean everyone out there, we all have to remember that they're now starting to just admit that this is for the psychology of those for whom COVID has been an anxiety disorder, essentially. I mean,
that's
they're
right.
They're starting to talk about this more about how we have to get to a place where it will make people feel more at ease. It's not about disease, hospitalization, death all the time. It's about, I don't want to be scared when I go outside because I watch too much CNN. Here's, for example, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy right now on how it's all about making people feel better, peace of mind.
The reason that we're pursuing some of these requirements is, again, we know a lot of businesses, have welcomed it. We know that many, they will help keep workplaces safe. And Dan, if we ultimately want to not only get people back to work, but keep them at work, if we want workers to know, hey, I'm coming back to the workplace and it's going to be safe, these vaccinations will help people do that. And I believe that will not only improve public health, but it'll give people some more peace of mind.
Peace of mind, Clay. You have to get your, I mean, what, you have children who are 8 and 13, right? Am I remembering this correctly?
13, 10, and 6.
Oh, okay. I was close. 13,
but
10, and 6.
They're aging. They both have birthdays this week,
close
so it's
enough.
Confusing for me, too.
Yeah. But anyway, point being here, you have to mask them up, Clay. And now they want, and, you know, Fauci and them, if they have their way, you have to get them vaccinated, too, so that over-anxious adults who can't handle the world around them being imperfect, who think that the state will keep them safe and warm at night, won't be worried. They're starting to say this more openly because the data doesn't back up what they're doing as actually effective at saving lives or whatever it is they want to say.
Which is why I went to the school board several weeks ago. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the data right now, and these are kids that died with COVID, almost all of whom had serious, significant health issues on top of that. 412. 412 kids, minors, under the age of 18, have died of COVID. That is 0.001% of total cases. Your kids and my kids are more likely to be murdered. They are more likely to die in a traffic accident. They are more likely to drown. They are more likely to die of the seasonal flu than they are from COVID. So, unless I'm crazy, I don't ever remember any mask requirement that existed in any school in the country for the seasonal flu, even though every year, on average, it has been killing more kids than are dying of COVID. And most of you didn't even recognize, didn't even know, didn't even contemplate the seasonal flu as a very likely danger for your kids. Not because you were trying to intentionally ignore it, but just because statistically, it is not that significant of a danger. And if you have your kids walk into school in the morning like I do, or you put them in a car, they're under more danger of getting murdered and dying in a traffic accident. If you said, hey, I'm not going to take my kids to school today because I'm worried they might get murdered or die in a traffic accident, we would say of the parents who told us that, you have a severe psychological failure.
You need professional medical assistance for a psychological disorder with
COVID.
I think there are a lot of prominent TV journalists, if we can call them that, pundits pretending to be journalists, who view COVID fear mongering, right? Who view COVID fear expansion as necessary for their ratings, perhaps. I mean, it's tough to tell where they're ideologically devoted to it and where they're just doing it. I mean, this, of all the stupid things that were said over the weekend, this might take the cake. I mean, Nicole Wallace, who's over at MSNBC, a former Bush person, by the way, former Republican, who now does the bidding like a little marionette of the DNC, the Democrats. By the way, that will never happen. There will never be a day where I'm showing up somewhere. Oh, I'm a Democrat now because these people pay my check. I'll go be a real estate agent somewhere. I'll go do some cool job I want to do that I've always felt like, you know, I love real estate. So something like that. I'll go do something else. I'm not going to turn on everything I've ever stood for because, oh, I want to be on TV and I want to be important. Here's Nicole Wallace. Did you hear this?
I haven't heard this.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I haven't heard it.
This is I get the real-time reaction from the Claymeister over here. Nicole Wallace on MSNBC telling Brian Williams, you know, who, I don't know if you guys know this, Brian Williams was the lead Navy SEAL on the mission to kill Osama bin Laden. So
he pulled the trigger.
We had Rob Smith on. Rob can neither confirm nor deny that it was actually Brian Williams who was, there I was, no crap, doing it all. Anyway, here is Nicole Wallace. I mean, this is going to make some of you angry when you hear this, but you got to hear it because this is what goes on MSNBC.
I think there are so many parallels to how much more difficult it is to do any of the things that anyone who has spoken today has done, to call the country to a higher purpose. You've got politicians and prominent folks in the media outraged by steps that a president, not too many presidents after the one we heard from today, would try to save his country from an unthinkable death toll. I mean, as many people die every 2 days as died on September 11th in this country, who don't have to die. Anyone in this country over 12 could be vaccinated. And people who are vaccinated are not the ones tragically packing ICUs in this country.
Yeah, it's Clay. It's just like a 9/11 every 2 days. That's what they're saying on national TV. You know, people dying of a respiratory virus, most of whom are much older and at risk from all the other viruses that are out there, too, as we know. That's the same as our buildings being hit by planes driven by homicidal jihadist lunatics and killing thousands of Americans all at once as they try to destroy our entire society. How is it possible that people who are this stupid get paid to be on TV?
Well, not only that, Buck, but 8,000 people die every day in this country. And for most of our lives, we accepted that that was awful. But it's the natural evolution of biology that 8,000 people a day die in this country.
Imagine if I said to you, Clay, and I mean, Democrats are dumb enough that they would say this. So in the ones that are on TV, imagine if I said to you, oh, OK, there were 50 people shot in America over the weekend. But do you realize that 300 people died today from heart disease or whatever? I'm making up the number.
Yeah.
But people would say, that's a callous, idiotic statement. These things have nothing to do with each other.
Oh, imagine if somebody had gone on Fox News and said on the day George Floyd died, well, you know, it's a tragedy what happened to George Floyd, but 7,999 people also died today, so I don't think we should spend that much time focusing on any one. That person would never be allowed on television.
That's right. I mean, they would have to change their name and move to like a rural off-the-grid area of Canada.
That's 100% what would happen.
Yes, that is absolutely what would happen. But, you know, our media is full of idiots. And unfortunately, some of the idiots get very well paid and keep their jobs, but that's just the way that it is. Protection, folks, it is the name of the game. At some point in your life, protecting all you've saved becomes so important. Clay and I were talking about inflation, eating away all the time at your savings, at all you've worked for. Protect what you've saved with the purchase of gold. It's a smart investment, particularly if you think out of control cost increases in virtually everything and that they're ahead of us, right? Because behind that comes inflation. We know what that does to the value of a dollar. My partners at the Oxford Gold Group have taught me how to buy gold and precious metals. They've shown me how easy it is to buy gold and take possession of it yourself. I have it at my home. I'm literally holding it at home and safely storing it so that I know that I've got it when I need it. You can do the same, and the Oxford Gold Group will help you. If you think buying gold is complicated, it's not. The people at Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll talk you through all of it. They'll make sure you get the right amount, the right kind. I mean, we're talking coins, bullion. They'll walk you through all of it. They'll explain everything to you. And you can have real gold delivered to your home or have real gold as part of your IRA. Call the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Final segment of the Monday edition of the program. Lots of fun still to come this week, but I would encourage you, make sure you download the podcast. Don't miss a minute. You can go to Clay Travis. You can go to Buck Sexton. Type it in anywhere on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you go to consume your podcast. We are there, and you can download the show and make sure you don't miss a minute. Also want to let you know, it's a pretty good offer right now. Arizona, you're out there listening to us right now in Arizona. You got sports gambling now. $5 bet on whoever wins tonight's game. Got the Raiders going up against, who are the Raiders playing? The Raiders are playing against the Ravens tonight on Monday Night Football. $5 bet makes you back $200, 40-1 payout. All you have to do is go to fanduel.com/clay. That is fanduel.com/clay. You can turn $5 into $200, 40-1 payout. Just pick the winner. All right. Speaking of, we were talking about this earlier. I took my son. He wanted to go for his birthday party to the Titans game. I understand there are people out there that say, why would you support any form of sports, including the NFL, when they allow protest, when they are being disrespectful? I thought, by and large, the NFL on September 12th was very respectful of September 11th. There was not the Black National Anthem played at the game that I went to, but it was played on the opening Thursday night, and Bill Maher talked about this, and Bill Maher increasingly is willing to attack the absurdity of left-wing ideals, and he's doing so in an intelligent fashion. I want to play this for you.
When people say to me sometimes, like, boy, you know, you go after the left a lot these days. Why? I'm like, because you're embarrassing me. That's why I'm going after the left in a way you never did before, because you're inverting things that I'm not going to give up on being liberal. This is what these teachers are talking about, that you're taking children and making them hyper aware of race in a way they wouldn't otherwise be. I mean, I saw last night on the football game, Alicia Keys sang Lift Every Voice and Sing, which now I hear is called the Black National Anthem. Now, maybe we should get rid of our national anthem, but I think we should have one national anthem. I think when you go down a road where you're having two different national anthems, colleges sometimes now have, many of them have different graduation ceremonies for black and white, separate dorms. This is what I mean, segregation. You've inverted the idea. We're going back to that under a different name.
He's 100% right. We used to have fun with this because I think the only way you can win on issues like these is by ridiculing the absurdity. Buck, we would have on our show, we would play the Hispanic, the white, the black, and the Asian national anthem. We also had the gay national anthem and the women's national anthem to draw into. Yeah, it was fun. We had callers call in.
Are those, those exist?
We picked them.
Okay,
and we did it in a comedic.
I didn't know there was a black national anthem, quote, black national anthem until pretty recently, so I had to have the possibility that there were these others.
We did it in a comedic fashion. For instance, white people drafted Sweet Caroline as the white national anthem.
You could have, I don't know, Living on a Prayer, maybe.
Oh, that's a good one, too. I need to get that audio sent to us so that we can ridicule this, but it points to his larger issue, which is, the entire point of the national anthem is that it brings us all together. Once you start excluding people based on race or doing different treatment based on race, that's called racism, which is really what the left is doing now.
it's not defensible, really. I mean, intellectually, the things that are happening now that the left is pushing, it always devolves into incoherence, which is why they respond to it with so much anger accusations. They don't try to convince you about why this is a good thing. They say, it is, shut up, you're racist. That's the way.
That's their answer.
You know, I actually said a friend of mine, you know what, Clay, in real time here, I have at the coffee shop on my corner. Now, I usually make my own coffee, but occasionally on the weekends is a little thing, you know, if I'm feeling really lazy or if I run out, I'll go. They have a number of books that are on the, like, borrow it, read it shelf. And I'm like, I took a photo of it. It was White Fragility, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Between the World and Me, Michelle Obama's autobiography. And there's more. Every single book by either an African-American author or about racism and how awful it is in America. I mean, this is a coffee shop where 90% of the patrons, I mean, this is for yuppies in Midtown Manhattan, and they're acting like they're all in the struggle all the time. It's amazing.
What would you think if you just saw me like sitting on a bus and I was reading White Fragility? First of all, I'd be like, you are the definition of a fragile white dude. But I would just be like, I mean, what? No other country in the history of the world have we minted more millionaires, and I think probably deca-millionaires, meaning I think some of these writers probably are making $10 million or more, by telling everybody out there how awful they are and how awful their country is.
It's so pointless. There's only some people who benefit from this, and they're in the power structure.
It's a total racket.
And it's a racket, exactly. I mean, they're getting paid $15,000 a pop to show up at college and say, you know, everyone here is racist. Thank you very much. Be sure to tip your waiter. I mean, it's ridiculous, man, but we'll get more to look. Bill Maher, sometimes he's really wrong, but, you know, he actually has real conservatives sometimes on his show. I've been on. I'm sure you will be soon.
We should invite him on our show.
We should have him on the show. All right. Maybe we'll put out the bat signal for Bill Maher.
He's more likely than Fauci.
Although he's going to take some shots at Trump. I'm telling you, he'll take some Trump shots.
I understand. We don't have to agree on everything. If he's right on some things, I'll take that in this world.
We'll come back tomorrow. More on this team. Thanks for being with us.
Listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.